broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August 22nd in the year of our Lord 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is our guide. And we're also convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you had an absolutely delightful God, family, and country style weekend. And wow, we just heard at the top of the hour, China, half of the country on power rations. That will indeed come to a theater near you, ladies and gentlemen, to your house, to your business. I hope it does not, but predict it will with Biden's suicidal energy reality check. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Wow. We also had Dr. Scott Bradley on with us first hour on Friday, and we talked about the Ken Cromar hearing that was taking place. It was really a sentencing, if you will. If it could happen to Donald Trump, if it can happen to Ken and Barb, it could certainly happen to you. Let's see. MiraclesInGodWeTrust.com is his website. And the sentencing was right after the show, so we couldn't give you the details during the show. But it turns out in the beginning when the judge said sentencing, the judge said, hey, you can appear on WebEx or you can come in. And Ken said, oh, I'd prefer to come in because Ken likes to do face-to-face. But then because they put out a bench warrant for his arrest, he decided not to come in because he thought they'd arrest him on the spot possibly. I don't know what they would have done. Again, the problem is they eroded trust so far, so badly, that in good faith, you can't even count on these people, right? So long story short, Ken decided, I'm not going to go in. I'm going to do the WebEx option. Well, then the judge said, because Ken chose the WebEx option and he didn't show up in person, they would delay the sentencing. Now, why you would delay sentencing over that, I don't know. The prosecution said, wow, we were going to carry forward and recommend no jail time for you and recommend this and recommend that. But you know what? Since you're not here, we can't. And all they did was delay it. Now, I don't understand why they did that at all. But you know what? Dr. Scott Bradley is with me this hour. Let's get him on the broadcast. Welcome back, sir.
Well, good morning to all. And there's always an interesting twist to everything. And it seems they've left Ken and Barbie twisting in the wind, you know, kind of left them. I guess it's there's not enough stress in their life. And so they're trying to, you know, kind of build the drama of the whole thing and everything like that. Did they say when they were going to hold this sentencing?
I'm not really sure. They just kind of said, we're going to delay it because you didn't come in. And so they're setting a new date, and I guess they expect to demand he comes in next time. But I don't really understand it because in the beginning, the judge offered the WebEx option. And so I don't know if they're just trying to get back at him for changing his mind. Well, he changed his mind because they put a bench warrant out for his arrest. This is what I mean by they just continue to play games, continue to be hostile, continue to erode trust where you just can't trust them. I mean, if Ken would have showed up, would they arrested him on the spot, even though they're claiming no jail time?
Well, they probably would.
I don't know.
Since there was a warrant. Yeah, if there was a warrant.
Right.
There would have been an overzealous officer, if nobody else. I mean, maybe that was the whole plan right from the beginning, perhaps. We don't know, But there could have been somebody, he's outside the court, I'm going to go grab him right now, you know, kind of thing. And then they got the whole rigmarole of jail check-in and cooling your jets there until somebody can get around to reviewing the thing. And, I mean, it would have been an opportunity for somebody to get their hooks into him. I don't know. It's hard to say, but if the judge... Maybe the judge is slipping gears. I don't know. Maybe the judge forgot that he offered this WebEx thing. I don't know.
Well, that's the problem is that you just can't trust them, and this is what I mean. You know, they offered WebEx. He changed his mind for logical reasons. Why would they put if they are going to claim no jail time, why would they, right in advance of the courts, put another bench warrant out for your arrest? I just don't understand it, Dr. Bradley, but this is the point that I'm getting at is, They've created such a lack of trust between we the people and our government. that you just don't know what you should be doing. If they were stable, if they were honest, if they were accountable, if they were clear, if they were consistent, if, I mean, I could go on and on. We would not have these problems like we have. Well, but I don't trust them either.
No, it's become extremely difficult to say that there's any credibility left with anybody that holds office. You know, I mean, and the fact of the matter is, the Declaration of Independence, you know, we often go back to that. Read it like today's news today, because, you know, everything from sent swarms of officers to eat out our substance and how they've subjected us to jurisdictions foreign to our Constitution, how they've done pretended legislation, all that kind of stuff. But part of the things that were offenses of the king, honestly, was that he had obstructed the administration of justice. And justice is a really important thing. And the idea that a system of justice is available so that, you know, you can trust in these kind of things and that the bad guys are going to not be able to continue to work their nefarious schemes on you. We've got these two-tier kind of programs nowadays, and maybe there's more than two tiers, but you get the idea where it seems as though Hillary Clinton, for example, in a plethora of security violations, doesn't even get a slap on the wrist. And then Donald Trump gets his home raided after he's left as president. So, I mean, there's different issues like that. But the fact of the matter is, the American Founding Fathers, when they wrote the first Constitution, the Articles of Confederation, they didn't have a really fully developed justice system. And that was a flaw in it. That was one of the many flaws that many people today are requesting to go back to, it seems like. They want to rewrite our Constitution, but that's another topic. But they didn't have a fully robust justice system. And so there was a stumbling block in the success that the new Constitution offered, that new Constitution, the Articles of Confederation. And so when they met in 1787, they created a court system and gave it some more substance that could be there to help administer justice. And it's not there to harass, eat out the substance of the people. It's there to administer justice. And when they put in the preamble the idea of welfare, you know, the general welfare clause that's there, and in the first article clause 8 about the general welfare. The general welfare had nothing to do with redistributing wealth or the dole or, you know, anything socialist. It had everything to do with stability and predictability. They wanted good government. That's what the general welfare was good government. They needed a justice system so people could be assured injustice would not be done. They needed a government that was going to protect from foreign and domestic violence. They needed a sound money system. All of those things were established under the United States Constitution. And so that is the general welfare. That's what the general welfare clause talks about. Good government, stability and predictability. Well, today that has been ripped out from under us, and the idea that justice is available in the system now is highly questionable. It's biased towards the prosecutor side, and you know, lock them up, throw away the key. You know, the idea of habeas corpus is hardly even admitted anymore. And that's where you
not only doctor is it hardly even admitted, but now you bring up habeas corpus, you bring up some of these things, or you bring up the Constitution or anything about the Founding Fathers or the checks and balances, and the judges literally go ballistic now, and they literally treat you like an enemy because you bring up the constitutionality or the posse comitatus or the any of these things. They just go absolutely crazy and throw the book at you.
Well, therein lies part of the problem. We've talked many times on your program about how in the beginning of this fledgling nation under the new Constitution, the United States Constitution, if there was a bias in the justice system, it was biased towards the accused. The idea was, let's not do anything that would cause someone to be improperly accused and then have injustice done by not just prosecuting them, but actually punishing them. And so if you carefully read, you know, whether you're in Article 3 and reading about the jury system, that was a critically important thing. The jury system has been eviscerated nowadays. The Sparks case back in the middle of the 1890s basically took away or attempted to take away, it still exists, but the courts have chosen to ignore it, the idea of jury nullification. And jury nullification is a soundly founded doctrine that if you have a biased judge or you have a bad law, the jury can set aside the law in the case that's before them. It doesn't set aside some legislatively enacted law. What it does, it says, you know, in this case, you know, the law's there. Yeah, we admit it, but it's not going to apply in this case. We're finding the defendant innocent, and we're setting them free. Those kinds of things have largely been thrown out the door and the window in favor of a prosecutorial kind of approach to things, wherein we the people are kind of left lacking because of the establishment. Now, by the way, Jefferson and others were very supportive of this concept of jury nullification, because it was kind of the second to the last, I guess I could say, line of defense. The last one perhaps being the right to keep and bear arms, which right now probably put me in crosshairs, because they definitely don't want anybody to ultimately, when they've given up on all justice, to resort to anything else. Sounds like we've got to
take a break.
Amen to
that. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Barbara and Ken absolutely believe in miracles. Do you? Let's have trust in the Lord, shall we? Liberty Roundtable, live.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules, the shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Dr. Scott Bradley, FreedomRisingSun.com, and Sam Bushman on your radio, breaking it down this beautiful Monday morning. So this is kind of fascinating. On the mainstream news, they say over and over and over, and in the radio commercial, everywhere, that, you know what, there's no election fraud at all. But Dr. Bradley, I got two problems. In Gillespie County, Texas, all three election officials quit. They just flat out quit. They complain harassment made them quit. The problem is Donald Trump won about 60% of the vote in that county. So it can't be Donald Trumpites rioting and getting all crazy. But they say harassment and everything else. All three judges quit. And now the state of Texas has to take over the Gillespie County elections. But of course, there's no election fraud. And then in Florida, Ron DeSantis just arrested 20 people for election fraud. But yet they say there's no evidence of election fraud, doctor. Can you help me with this? I'm not very smart.
Yeah, it's really confusing, isn't it? I mean, we have all sorts of evidence out there that refuses to be looked at. When something does, you know, kind of somehow surface, it bubbles up finally, and oh my goodness, look at that. Oh, we got a whack-a-mole, if you will, whack it down again. This thing in Florida, you know, there's a lot of people that are saying, oh, no, that's not anything related to what Donald Trump's been claiming. It's simply some people that had their voting rights removed because of convictions of certain crimes. Now, in Florida, if you're a convicted criminal no longer in jail, in most cases you can vote. But in case of murder and I think some sexual crimes, you can't. And so they've found some people, apparently, that they're charging that fit in that category, and they did vote. Okay, now, you know, usually when there's smoke, there's fire, and there's a whole bunch of other things that are out there too. But there are just almost innumerable examples, it seems like, where, in this case there might have been some election fraud or some problematic issues that came up. But no, generally it's been completely above board, and the most secure election. No, it has not. And anybody with more than a half a brain, which tells you a lot about much of the population of the United States, anybody with more than a half a brain and is willing to give some consideration to what's being brought forth would recognize there's challenges. And what's happening is that there's an attempt to canonize, if you will, you know, make sacred and holy and unmovable the processes by which the 2020 election was brought into such great question. You know, this almost universal, mail-in ballot kind of thing. It makes it almost impossible to track. The idea of drop boxes where, dozens and dozens, if not hundreds and hundreds, of fake ballots can be dropped off with no track, you know, no way to track them. And the idea of going back to paper ballots, the idea of going back to in-person voting, the idea of going back to, meeting in your voting precinct with people that
is
are
the
your
only neighbors. Real solution, Doctor.
It is, but here's the deal. In our state of Utah, probably one of the most corrupt election groups in the nation. It sounds, you guys are all Republicans out there. No, well, first of all, we're not. But second of all, the process is being used, I believe, by the incumbent system to promote, you know, their ongoing power base. They're saying, no, don't worry about it. These election machines are impeccable. They can't be hacked. They can't be in any way pre-programmed or reprogrammed for anything. The idea that everybody gets a ballot is completely, you don't even talk to them about it. But the idea of having, you know, if people do need a mail-in ballot, have them request it. I mean, you know, here, okay, I'm going on record, I need a mail-in ballot. Someone may say, okay, well, here's one going out to you. We will track that ballot to make sure it gets back. But not 200 ballots that come back in off of one ballot or something like that. If somebody's, you know, going to be out of town or they're military serving somewhere else or something like that, certainly those kinds of things would be exceptions to this. But the vast majority of people could come to a polling place. It is something they need to put an emphasis on. Get off your butts, go down there and vote. And quit whining about how you got to leave the TV set for 15 minutes to go down and vote. It's absurd. And again, if there is, shut-ins and those that are, you know, somehow physically unable to be able to come do it, have them request a ballot. And then that ballot can be sent to them. But don't make a blanket out there. Utah's got all sorts of other troubles, as I inferred, where the we probably don't have time to discuss this, and your program's more of a national nature, but maybe other states have a similar program where the governor's office and the lieutenant governor's office in Utah, they're like president and vice president. They run as running mates. They're best of buds and everything else that they're in. The lieutenant governor's office is the one that runs the election. And surprise, surprise, the lieutenant governor's office, the incumbent always wins. Can you imagine? And they're not forthcoming with many of the things that should be available through transparency. They seem to do a cover and run, kind of thing, or
and then
cover,
you bring up anything that would be alternative or questioning or want to confirm or validate, and they simply call you a terrorist. They simply say you're somehow believing
you're
the big
terrorist,
lie. Or,
yeah, if you're not a terrorist, you're a conspiracy theorist. And in the county I live in, I mean, you know, don't even breathe an idea about getting rid of these monolithic vote counting machines that are there. And, you know, you push the button when you're done and it gives you a number of who voted for what. Let's do a recount. Push the button again. Oh, by golly, you get the same number. Ha, huh, must be right. And you go on. Whereas with the paper ballot kind of world, people with, you know, multiple eyes are looking at the ballots as they come through. It's an open, kind of a transparent process, if you will. And if you come up with a discrepancy, you recount them. And you do the certification at the local level. And it gets certified and passed up the line. And there is a kind of a chain of responsibility that goes with these things.
And there's no question. But you know what's interesting? If they were to do paper ballots, if they were to have the right people in the room, so multiple ballot counters, multiple people watching the ballot counts, video surveillance so that you could do what they do in sports, an instant replay or review or stop in the middle of ballot counting if there's a question or a debate or an issue, and people were to swear under the penalty of perjury to the vote count, 99% of these problems could literally go away, Doctor. But they won't do it. They think we're crazy for trying to accomplish this. And it just tells me, what have they got to hide if they think we're so crazy? If they're so opposed to this, why?
I don't think they think we're crazy. They try to build that image in people's minds. Oh, yeah, we can put that guy in this compartment over here, the wild and crazy-eyed guy that never combs his hair or whatever. You know, we can put him in that compartment and we discount everything that they come up with. Oh, yeah, it's such a broad spectrum of conspiracy theorists that we can put people into that reduce their public image and thereby their credibility. But the fact of the matter is everybody, every single soul should want to protect that sacred voting responsibility and the privilege of being able to select those that are to represent us within the limits and bounds of the government that we have given our voter, you know, the consent of the governed to, you know, under constitutional process. And everybody should want to do that. And they've been stealing the election process away from the states, which it originally was intended by the American Founding Fathers to be under the jurisdiction and protection of the states. And everything that's happened at the general level, at the national level, if you will, has been an effort to completely swoop that away until finally we have the Leviathan sitting there. Oh, we're going to get a better election process by having the federal government in charge of it. Are you kidding me?
And by creating a new, I don't know if you know, but they created a new division at the post office specifically for ballots.
Well,
now,
okay.
This is what I mean. Government just grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. And there's no, it's just the Hegelian dialectic played to perfection to where the only answer is government, and government always grows.
Well, the post office, okay, people, give me a break. Do an analysis. Do a cognitive process. You know, God gave you a mind. He gave you the privilege of thinking. Think about this for a minute. Has the post office gotten better or worse in recent times? And start realizing they're doing a crappy job with whatever job they've got right now. And there's all sorts of efforts to shore them up and give them some kind of, you know, continued legs. I mean, yeah, they're constitutional. There was a valid reason to establish a postal system in the United States in the beginning. Jefferson, for example, oftentimes he lamented the fact that when correspondence got to him, it had been tampered with. Somebody'd read his mail. And the idea was, hey, let's make sure that we do have a secure system to mail. But since then, it's been degrading and degrading and
hang tight, Dr. Bradley. Listen to the wind blow. They just want to see which direction the wind blows and see if they can take advantage of it. That's what politicians always do. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live with Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Taiwan is assuring the United States that it can count on it to be a reliable supplier of semiconductors. Taiwanese President Tsai Ing-wen met with Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb today about expanding economic cooperation between the state and Taiwan. Holcomb is the third American leader to visit Taiwan this month. The Biden administration will announce in the next week or so a decision on student loan payments, which have been on pause since March of 2020. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona on NBC News points out the teacher shortfalls in America.
And yes, we are dealing with a shortage issue, but some of the long-term solutions that we must focus on are creating grow-your-own programs. We need to tap the shoulders of our high school students, of our para-educators who are dedicated in our schools already, and give them a pathway to higher education.
We are USA Radio News.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, I'm sorry I'm late. Traffic is terrible.
It sure is. But on top of that, gas prices have been skyrocketing. I can't believe how expensive gas has gotten recently.
Prices at the pump are up, but I never pay full price for gas anymore. I just use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
And does that actually add up to anything?
I've made around $200.
Wow. Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code EARN for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EARN for 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up.
Ford Motor Company plans to appeal a $1.7 billion verdict against them after a pickup truck crash that claimed the lives of a Georgia couple. Jurors in Gwinnett County, just northeast of Atlanta, returned the verdict late last week. A strong weather event is happening in the Gulf of Mexico with its sights on Texas.
A potential cyclone is churning off the Gulf Coast of Texas. Molly McCullum is a meteorologist with the Weather Channel. She says parts of Texas could see 3 to 5 inches of rain.
The problem is we've been very dry, and when the rain starts to fall, it's falling on very dry soil. So we could see some of that initially start to run off and cause some flash flooding issues both Monday and extending into Tuesday morning. But these are places like Dallas, Houston, Waco that desperately need the rain.
For the USA Radio News Gulf Coast Bureau, I'm Tony Maruso.
Monday Night Football preseason tonight, the Jets will host the Falcons. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Bradley and Sam Bushman on your radio, freedomsrisingsun.com, to learn more about Dr. Bradley, Dr. Scott Bradley's incredible work. freedomsrisingsun.com, his incredible Collegiate Series to Preserve the Nation is available there. Also, the weekly webinars and a whole lot more. Just absolutely constitutional education to preserve the nation, the goal. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you right now, this vote fraud thing, I don't want to go on about it forever, but it's just, they claim it doesn't exist. They claim we're psychotic or crazy. The fact is, 20 people just got arrested in Florida. Now, I got a little bit of a split mind on that debate, too, because I, on one hand, I think if you really served your debt to society and you've finished your jail time and your probation or whatever else, I believe personally your rights should be completely restored. I don't see how you could just be basically half of a person or given half your rights forever, even though you supposedly finished your sentence and your probation and paid your debt to society. That's a whole other topic. But meanwhile, though, hey, you got illegals voting. You got dead people voting. You've got criminals voting and everything else. And then I say there's election fraud. And they say, oh, you're crazy. There's no such thing. It's just so minimal. It doesn't matter. And then, hey, 20 people get arrested in Florida. And three election officials in Texas literally quit. And you kind of go, wow. All right, let's move to the FCC for a quick second. We call for a complete shutdown of both the FCC and the FDA immediately. They're both unconstitutional, ladies and gentlemen. And the CDC now.
I'm here. Okay. It looks like we've run into some technical difficulties with Sam's connection, but again, is don't get me started on the alphabet soup organizations that have been unconstitutionally created in the United States. We need to examine all of them. I mean, Sam started this segment. I don't know when you actually lost him. I know when I lost him, it just brought up the FCC and the FDA as being unconstitutional. And absolutely, unequivocally, you may search in vain through the United States Constitution. Read it carefully many times over. Hey, we could all do a good turn daily by doing that regularly. But search it for something that would possibly allow those organizations to exist. And by the way, let's just parenthetically make a remark at this particular point. There are people that believe, oh, I know right where to go. I can find this. It's Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18. And, you know, Section 18 of Article 1 is the congressional power delegation that happens in the Constitution. And Clause 18 says Congress shall have power to make all laws, which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers, so read the previous 17 clauses, and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States or in any department or officer thereof. Many people have adopted the term elastic clause on this particular aspect of it. The clause being, we've got the power to do whatever we need to do. I mean, okay, read it carefully, because it talks about the power that's necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers. So if we look at Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5, the power to coin money, okay, they can create a mint, they can staff it, they can pay the regulatory, you know, whatever's necessary to hire people for it. They can define the issues in regards to the amount of precious metal that's necessary to bring about what's a dollar. They defined a dollar. Can you imagine in the 1792 Coinage Act? Well, they have the power to do all of that, as is stated in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18. But that does not mean that they have the power to counterfeit money or do any of the other things that they do under the Federal Reserve. So it's a really, really, it's a limiting factor to say the United States government has the power to do, carry out what they've been delegated power to do. I mean, yeah, since you have the power to do it, you have to be able to fulfill all aspects of that. And so, no, the so-called elastic clause, which is not elastic at all, it simply delegates the authority to carry out the authority that's in there. But what happens is the Congress unconstitutionally violates a constitutional protocol that was clearly understood from the very beginning, that a power delegated by the people through the constitutional process may not be redelegated. You know, John Locke wrote about that extensively in his treatise on civil government. And
not only, Dr. Bradley, can it not be redelegated, but it cannot just be expanded or modified via executive order or other branches of government, or internally just by regulations. And, you know, for example, they just created in the post office this, quote, new division to handle ballots or to handle, you know, election correspondence, so to speak. They don't have authority to create divisions within divisions and play games and add these functionalities or these capabilities via regulations that were never intended. See, this is not the intent of the founders, and that's the problem with it. I support a post office because it's constitutional. But this idea that we're going to do, you know, breast cancer stamps, or we're going to do this and that political agenda, or we're going to ship packages and compete with the private sector, it was designed for basic, simple, clear, consistent correspondence and nothing more. Now they're turning it into this massive behemoth organization that's completely void of its mission.
Well, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 7 specifically says Congress shall have power to establish post offices and post roads. Okay, so the authority to do certain things was assigned in the Constitution, delegated, if you will. The United States government took some things over, if you will, that says, okay, let's do foreign negotiation, let's do treaties, let's do warfare, let's do those kind of things at the general government. If you read the 45th Federalist Paper, you find that their powers are few and defined, and it has to do with external things. you know, like war, like trade, and so on and so forth. And you can read carefully and find that out. All of these alphabet soup organizations that are there, like the Food and Drug Administration, like the Centers for Disease Control, like the OSHA, like the Federal Communications Commission, all of these things are usurpations. And if you also carefully read the 10th Amendment, it says that if we didn't give you the power, you don't have the power. End of discussion. And so what has happened, because this has been, these encroachments have been going on for so many decades, people, and particularly students that have been through the public education system, have come to believe that, oh yeah, that's the way it's always been. Yeah, that's how we do business in the United States. No, it has not been. The Federal Reserve, for example, it's neither federal and nor are there any reserves there. It's a private banking consortium that by congressional enactment has been delegated unconstitutionally again, because you can't redelegate what was given by the consent of the governed to someone else. You can't do it by treaty. You can't do it by executive order, as you point out, Sam. You cannot do it by a legislative enactment that purports to delegate authority. You can't do it. It simply is unconstitutional. If
Congress unelected bureaucrats via regulations can't do it either, Doctor.
You're right. And what happens with the IRS, for example, and we could do numerous others, but let's just use them for example. They're a good example of a bad example. The Congress purports to delegate to them the authority, the rulemaking authority. They're going to create policies and regulations about the collection of money out of your back pocket. And so they create the law. The IRS does. No, Congress. No, they're the only ones that can create law. Look at Article 1, Section 1. And they not only create the law, they enforce the law. Oh, no, wait a minute. The executive has the responsibility to enforce. Okay, they're in the executive branch, but they created the law. That's a conflict. That's a separation of powers issues. And then they adjudicate the law. You go through their legal, if you will, court system and get drained of all the funds you've possibly got stashed away. And oh, yeah, you can, when you're done with going through our system, you could take it to court if you wanted, but you're already out of money. You've spent all your money on attorneys and been delayed. Your business has been put out of business and so on and so forth to the point that you don't have that anymore. Oh, on paper you do, but no, you physically can't carry it out anymore. That's an example of this violation of separation of powers. It's a violation of constitutional delegation of powers. That's a violation of who creates, enforces, and then adjudicates laws. All of this stuff is happening in the alphabet soup organizations. And so what needs to happen is a restoration of the original intent, what was there from the very, very beginning. And nobody has the right or the responsibility or the power to change it. There's a specific power delegated within the Constitution to make changes to the constitutional authority. And it can't happen by any other means.
And the way you know they really don't have power or authority, ladies and gentlemen, is because whenever you push back and say they don't have authority, they act like you're some kind of a threat to their authority. Why would they feel threatened if they're within their delegated authority? Interesting questions. Dr. Scott Bradley in seconds continues on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman on your radio. We're talking about the proper role of limited constitutional government based on checks and balances, based on the rule of law, based on the contract that Americans set up for the proper role of government. They had a contract at the general level. The U.S. Constitution is the contract where we separate authority into three different branches, and they're supposed to check one another, hold one another accountable, prevent one another from gaining too much authority and power. We also do the same thing at the state level. Each state has a constitution. And the state constitution is like-minded, but state-related. Then the state constitution and the general constitution are supposed to balance one another and create a check on one another as well. This is really the fundamental founding of America that created such a unique form of government. That's why they said you have a republic if you can keep it. It's a constitutional republic where God's law matters most. Government being necessary, but yet dangerous. And the founding fathers understood this balance oh so well. And that's why they created such a unique system of checks and balances, a unique system of delegated authority, a unique system where the people are still in charge under Almighty God. But the morality of the people being the kingpin for solutions and the kingpin for stability and safety. You have a republic if you can keep it, meant do you understand the dual sovereignty between the general government, very limited and defined, and the state governments. And then the three branches of government, so vertical and horizontal checks and balances. And morality was the key to uphold it all. Without that morality, they said, hey, without religion and morality, the two fundamental supports, you know what, you will not succeed. This nation can only be governed by those fundamental principles enshrined in the contract, Dr. Bradley.
Well, there's no question, and we can, if you will, prove that every way to Sunday. The idea that the United States Constitution was a written contract was clearly enunciated, where, as Tucker said, government was reduced to its elements, its object was defined, its principles ascertained, its powers limited and fixed. We can look through the Federalist Papers at further evidence of that. We can talk about all the other statements that have been made by Tucker, for example, about the Constitution doesn't authorize Congress to regulate commerce in any state at all, completely. I mean, all the Second Amendment laws are based upon a usurpation of that power, for example. The United States government has no authority to adjudicate any criminal activity, to make laws in regards to it, to define anything like that, unless it's specifically stated in the Constitution. And we, but just before the break, I mentioned the idea of the United States government being a creature of the contract. The contract is specific. It's written in plain English. Those English words have meanings. They can mean nothing but what they meant in the day they were written. And so they are limiting and bounding. And so what happens is that this creature that was created under the Constitution, you know, whether it's the office of the president or the Congress or the judicial side of the world, all of that stuff was created in the contract. The states were the creators of the contract. They have a responsibility to keep the creature in check. As Jefferson said, let no more be said of confidence in man, but bind him down from mischief for the change of the Constitution. Jefferson and Madison clearly and eloquently stated the limits and bounds when they wrote the Virginia and Kentucky resolutions to show the wisdom and understanding that the general government, what a lot of people call the federal government or the national government, it's neither federal nor national. And again, we'll have to review that again sometime on your show, Sam. But where the states have a responsibility to say, you're limited and bounded to the specifics that were delegated to you in the United States Constitution. The general government does not have the authority to redefine its limits and bounds. So all of these things that are happening because of our ignorance, our complacency, our complicitness, our thinking we can feed at the trough, whatever, and get some benefit that we're going to somehow be better off by, which I seriously think we could demonstrate there is no benefit by blinking or turning a blind eye or whatever to what usurpations are happening at the general government level. We need to say it's time to return to the original intent as was established in 1787, 1789, and in the early years of the Constitution. There's been efforts to usurp. I mean, in 1792, for example, when there was an effort to redefine general welfare clause to include all things financial, Madison got up on the floor. He was a member of Congress, and he said, whoa, 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 baby. You got to carefully consider that this will destroy our constitutional republic if you allow this redefinition of terms. There's been efforts from the very beginning to redefine terms, but they've been false. They've been wrong. And in every instance that it's happened, we have found there's been basically an erosion of our proper government.
It's simply gone south.
Of liberty. It has. And we're as a people, we're willingly allowing it to be flushed away, gone. Our grandkids will never know what was given away in this generation if we don't step up to it.
Well, and that's why Liberty Roundtable Live exists, ladies and gentlemen. It is about education. This is a great educational platform, trying to bring us back to the legacy of our founding fathers, trying to carry their hard work, their dedication, their sacrifice forward in meaningful ways. So, for example, when modern things come about that the Constitution we pretend doesn't cover, because I believe the Constitution covers everything if we really are honest with ourselves. Why do I say that? Because the Founding Fathers had an understanding. This great compromise, the Constitution, creating the whole contract with we the people, it's not meant to be expanded or manipulated or justified. I believe in the traditions of the Founding Fathers, and I believe in strict constitutional implementation. However, modern day things do apply. Let me give you an example. They always say this, you know what? The modern gun, you know, the Founding Fathers never, ever understood that you could put 15 rounds, 20 rounds, 30 rounds in a gun and just pull the trigger over and over. And hey, that's way beyond the scope of the founder. No, it's not. No, stop. The founders understood that you need a force. You need firepower, whatever term you want to use to relate it. You need a check and a balance against government. And so whatever government arms they could have, we need to have similar, like-minded in our day. And yes, if it ratchets up and guns get more powerful, guns get faster in firing, guns get more whatever, what's the next step after the gun? For mutual destruction, if you so choose. I don't know. I'm just telling you that the Founding Fathers understood the principles of what we're talking about here. It isn't how many bullets you can put in a gun or how many can rapidly, you know, position themselves in the chamber for fire. That isn't the discussion. The semantics, the mechanics are not the discussion. The fundamental understanding of principle, which is, hey, we need enough capability to back government down when it disobeys its delegation, its authority by we the people and the authority we gave it. When they exceed that, when they violate the contract, we need the ability to resist and stop them from their abuses. And that fundamental principle doesn't change just because you somehow now make a gun that can have six cylinder, you know, a revolver. And then we take that to the next level and we say, hey, we're going to have, you know, automatic pistols or rifles or, you know, rapid firing this or that, or even all the way to a machine gun. whether you have to pull the trigger in succession or just pull the trigger and it continues to fire as long as the trigger is held down. None of those things matter when you talk about the principle. The principle is we need to be able to repel government. They were very clear on this point, Doctor.
There's no question they were. And in fact, what you just said is I can just see the people in the background hyperventilating and apoplectic over everything. I mean, suddenly you've caused several of the legislators to have a stroke, which might not be a bad thing.
But I have told the truth.
Yes, you have. And the fact of the matter is the American Founding Fathers stated that exactly. And that was their intent, was this Second Amendment and the idea of all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody takes up arms against government just because they have a disagreement about this or that or the other. These things are as a final resolution over a usurping government. And I personally believe that the intent of those that want to overthrow this government, they're chomping at the bit. They're rubbing their hands in the wings of this thing, hoping and praying. Well, maybe they don't pray except for to themselves. They're hoping for the time that they can accelerate where people will resort to arms. I think there's lots of steps between now and then that we can resolve these problems peaceably. But they're hoping.
There are, however, Dr. Bradley, a lot of the patriots, though, misconstrue, and they think they've tried everything when they jump from A to Z, and they think we're ready for that, and we're clearly not.
Agreed. I mean, I can't tell how, and this, you know, it goes back to a few years ago. We don't have a lot of F-16s out there nowadays. There's a lot of other countries that do, the fighter jet. But, you know, I tell people, you know, you might have an M-16, but they got an F-16. F-16s have a lot more firepower built into them and can drop napalm spears and everything else like that. But the point of the matter is it will get ugly. It will accelerate and become overwhelmingly ugly if you precipitously jump off this cliff. Some of your listeners may have seen the movie, as a Mel Gibson movie, The Patriot, when Mel Gibson, this, you know, guy that was a hero of the French and Indian War, resisted jumping into war with England. And you might remember the little legislative session in which that happened. And they're saying, what's happened to you? You become a coward? Are you crazy? It's time to jump in. And he says, you know what? Your families are going to see things that you don't want them to see if you bring this to us. And he was reluctant to jump in precipitously and in advance of when it should have been. And then, of course, if you go on...
And not only see, Doctor, but forced to experience.
Absolutely.
Remember that.
It'll be ugly beyond measure. People cannot imagine the price that will be exacted when this time comes. If it comes, we pray that it doesn't. So that's why we've got to become awakened and aroused and understand and not just go to force of arms without any, you know, this thing, there are so many other ways to solve this. But if people don't understand the baseline principles, how in the world are you going to elect someone to your city council or to your state legislature that's not a dodo and a dork? Someone that's there, you know, kind of encouraging you to crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you and all that kind of stuff. What if we don't understand these baseline principles of liberty and proper government, you know, this idea of checks and balances and delegation of authority and all of these things? People, we have a pathway back. The pathway is well marked. If we will look at that pathway and we will find our way through intelligence back to the beginning principles, we can save this nation. And that's what we're trying to do. And I weep that there are people that are loath to do that.
But I take excitement and hope in that Dr. Bradley and Sam Bushman and many others are standing for the sacred cause of liberty, which we will continue to do day in and day out on your radio. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. To learn more about Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com. For Sam Bushman and Dr. Bradley, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.